This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
New from Radiotopia presents Red for Revolution, an audio drama about Black love, queer romance, and liberation. Join Jasmine, an 18-year-old navigating her queer identity while learning about her grandmother's secret love affair. Through her discoveries, we're transported back to 1971 to witness two remarkable women embark on a romance that defies all conventions. Subscribe to Radiotopia Presents and listen to Red for Revolution wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Time for another edition of your favorite and mine, Thursday Coast, with the founder of the largest online progressive community there is, Thursday Coast, dailycoast.com. Marcos joins us from the left coast. Buddy, how are you?
Doing great. Thank you very much. I'm a freshly minted empty nester. So I've been traveling. We joked that my daughter is the empty nester because she's at home. She's going to community college, and I'm the one that took off. right now, I'm home.
Right.
I got to check up on her, make sure everything's okay.
How's that adjustment for you?
It's weird. I mean, you went through it. What was it, a few years ago? It's a weird feeling, and I was a full time single dad, right? So it's not having that sort of perpetual, always have to worry about them. And of course we worry about our kids. I mean, that doesn't change, but I don't have to legally worry about them. That's a little different.
Well, that's good. At this stage of life, we deserve to hang out a little bit and take care of ourselves.
Yeah.
And so, we look forward to that. And Ari, how's he doing?
He's doing great. He's National Guardsman down in LA, and he got lucky. He didn't have to do this BS deployment that Trump has made him do, called up 4,000 guardsmen because of the LA riots. There's no LA riots. There's not even any LA protests right now, really. So there's 4,000 guardsmen getting paid to just sit on their butts, pissed off because they got families and they got jobs, and Trump doesn't care. Trump doesn't get a rat's ass about people's actual lives. This is his little battle with Gavin Newsom. And Ari, thankfully, because he had school, he had to finish school, he got out of that activation. But his buddies are not in a good place. And just shows how Trump just disrespects our troops time and time again.
Yeah. Well,
they're literally doing nothing. They're sitting on their asses doing nothing. And it's costing them like $40 million a month. And where's Doge and all that nonsense, right? Like, they never cared about actually saving money. They care about their culture war battles. They care about destroying the social net.
Mm-hmm.
They don't actually care about people.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting, too, how that story, it was dramatic. You know, he always is trying to get in the news cycle. Now there's nothing. There's no coverage of what is going on in L.A. It just, it's just a lot of drama, and he's got it. So are the troops still there?
Yes, 4,000 of them. Not only... It was bad enough that they called up 2,000 from L.A. and Southern California, so San Diego. My son's unit is in San Diego. He actually called up all of the NorCal California guardsmen and sent them south for no reason. The 2,000 were sitting under butts. Now there's 4,000 sitting under butts. And it's costing like $40 million a month to do literally for them to sit on their butts and do nothing. There's no mission. They literally have nothing to do. And so they're stewing on, they're literally all pissed off. They want to get back. One of my son's unit mates, his wife has just got, you know, just found out she's pregnant. She wants her husband. They won't let her go. Let him go be with his wife who's newly pregnant. I mean, things like that. And you think Trump gives a damn? Of course he doesn't give a damn. There's no mission. There was literally nothing but sitting on their butts. And Trump called up more just to be an a-hole. No reason. Nobody said we need more troops. Nobody.
And now we've got alligator Alcatraz. Just something else to get on camera and get in front of the screen and soak up the news cycle.
Yeah.
But folks, we're trying to affect that simultaneously. I'm involved in another broadcast, State of the People Marathon. We've been, since Monday, been talking about the budget, had members of Congress on. It's big, ugly, big, beautiful bill, he calls it, but it's a big, ugly bill. Hakeem Jeffries is on the floor now, and so people are watching that. I don't think we're going to stop it. Hakeem is going to talk for as long as he can. I just sent him Frederick Douglass's speech. Hopefully he'll read that at help. And it's good for a good 2-3 hours. You know, you all know that's the tradition. I do it every 4th of July. I read the speech in its entirety, not the abbreviated version. So tomorrow, if you want to tune in to Make It Plain and get the full 2.5-3 hour speech, I will read it in its entirety. If you're ever bored, you can call me. I'll read it to you over the phone. But it's long and a great speech, by the way, but it's very long. What are your thoughts about this bill? First of all, from your point of view, and I know you know all the numbers. I mean, I know you've seen analysis, but we just want to hear your voice in terms of folks hearing from Marcos how bad this thing really is.
It is so bad that we had reports yesterday that Trump, speaking to a bunch of House members in the White House, told them to make sure not to cut any Medicaid because if they did, they would lose their elections. Yes. Trump has no idea what's in it. He gets it that cutting Medicaid is a electoral loser. We see Don Bacon in Nebraska, in the Omaha, Nebraska district, which Kamala Harris won. We see him, he just quit. He's voting for the bill and he quit because he knows he can't even defend that thing. So he's an a-hole Republican, he always was, but he's like, I'm going to lose. What's the point? So he quit. And it is a bill that, I mean, one is, first of all, like Trump doesn't know what's in it, right? He just wants the victory. He wants to be able to like walk, be on TV and be the conquering hero. But you know, what's really amazing about this whole thing is, and we've talked about this before, Mark, it's just how surgically it targets his own new base. For the first time in probably forever, if not ever, since realignment, Republicans won people making less than $50,000. They won the working class.
Yeah.
Democrats won those making over $50,000, and they won very comfortably amongst those making over $100,000. So as a former colleague of mine once said, Democrats are the party of people who don't need to look at prices when buying groceries. That's who we are. So you have a new base. And you think Republicans and Steve Bannon has actually been on this. Right? They have a new base and it's working class people, but they're acting like Republicans, right? They're acting like they're the party of billionaires and rich people. So they're so hyper fixated on giving billionaires a $20,000 tax cut, $20,000 for billionaires or millionaires. What is that? It's nothing, right? It's a rounding error, mm-hmm. while actually raising taxes on those making less than $50,000. It's absolutely incredible. They're cutting the infrastructure bill money that Joe Biden passed. They're cutting that, even though 70-75% of the benefits of that go to red counties, to Republican area counties. Now, Mark, I've talked about how stupid it was for Biden to pass a bill that benefited Republicans, right? Like, benefit our people, get our people to see a connection between government and their vote. But he very naively thought that Democrats would be rewarded if they actually spent money developing these rural areas, these economically disadvantaged areas. That didn't happen. They voted for Trump by even bigger numbers. And now Trump's coming in and he's literally cutting that money. He's cutting money that is Medicaid. The Medicaid expansion literally keeps rural hospitals afloat.
That's right. Right.
And so we know, and a bunch of these Republicans have been complaining about that, including Josh Hawley in Missouri, but then they vote for the frickin' bill, right? After mm-hmm. they spent months complaining about how this will absolutely decimate rural hospitals. Mark, you and me, our hospitals are fine. they're going to be fine. I suspect that most of the people listening to this, most of those, you know, probably don't live in rural areas. We are going to be impacted, obviously, by these Republican policies, but it is kind of amazing how targeted and how strategically focused these cuts are going to be on Trump's new rural base. It's cut broadband funding. So you know, digital divide stuff, it's cut that money. It's cut Medicaid, which there's some of these red counties. It's something like 70% of people in some of these, like, of the reddest counties are on Medicaid. It is absolutely going to decimate them. Now, the sadness about it all is that I don't think they're going to punish Republicans for it, because there's a whole machine designed to talk about, to rewrite history, to rewrite reality. They're all watching Fox News. Fox News isn't going to be telling them, Trump cut your these benefits that you're losing. That's because of Trump. No, they're going to somehow blame Biden. I mean, I was watching this Cuban American whose wife was deported, and he was blaming Joe Biden. It was Joe Biden's fault because Joe Biden didn't pass comprehensive immigration reform. Therefore, it's his fault. Trump he was just enforcing the law. That's what this guy said. I mean, of course, Trump did not have to eliminate TIPP, you know, temporary protected status, TPP status for Cubans or Salvadorans, Nicaraguans, Venezuelans. But beside that, it was Trump who torpedoed the immigration reform bill that Biden and congressional Republicans had negotiated. So again, they'll find a way to rationalize why their vote for Trump isn't the reason they're going to be experiencing new misery, but they're going to be experiencing new misery. And Mark, you know this, the Black community is affected, of course.
Yeah.
They've always affected, right? In good times and bad times. I don't think there's a sense of betrayal in a sense, because it's just, that's the reality. The Latino community, record numbers voted for this shit. So it's up to them to learn that lesson. And I hope they do learn that lesson, particularly Latino men voted, majority of them voted for Trump. It was like 58-42 of Latino men voted for Trump. Now you get to suffer the consequences. It is what it is. But those rural white voters, I don't think they've ever had to deal with this kind of government mandated misery, because Democrats always mitigated the worst successes of the Republican Party. And there's no Democrats now to do that anymore. So they are being absolutely targeted. And to me, that's the one silver lining to all of this, is that in the end, it is not blue America that's going to suffer the brunt of the consequences. It is actually those people who voted for Donald Trump.
Why? Let me just go back for a minute, and we may have talked about this before, but I just want to kind of reiterate it. Why do you think it in 2024, particularly, so many Latinos voted for this, knowing all the risks that were involved?
Yeah, I have a story I wrote recently that actually really speaks to this. Men in particular, there is a sense amongst men that they are being sort of vilified and blamed for society's ills, for toxic masculinity, for the patriarchy. And there's been a sort of a blowback with men. Some of it is obviously, most of it is not actually justified. It's a bunch of bullshit, but men are actually suffering, right? And to me, we as progressives, we can be so compassionate, and yet when we see men struggling, we're not. You know, we're like, oh, the patriarchy, they can suck it, they have all the advantages, and they do. This is not to say that white men don't have the advantages, but there is a crisis in the young men community. They don't feel they can get economically ahead. Education is so expensive. College is expensive. They don't think it's worth it. women are blowing by them on academic, on financial measures, on, you know, med school, on prestigious schools, law school. Women are becoming an increasingly larger percentage. And so there's a sense that they're being left behind. And what's happening is that the Andrew Tates are taking advantage of that situation.
Yeah.
And are weaponizing what is an actual real economic despair and turning it into the most toxic of toxic masculinity, right? So we have sort of ceded that ground to the right wing. We have basically seen these young men that are struggling to make ends meet. They're struggling to support families. They don't feel like they can do that. And we're saying, here, Andrew Tate, have at them. They're yours. And in hindsight, and I was one of those people, Mark. I'm not, this is not me lecturing. I was one of those people. And now in hindsight, it was not a good move on our part. And so it behooves us to be more proactive in giving those young men a sense of purpose within the context of progressivism, right? Because what Andrew Tate and that crowd is teaching them is to be independent, to be stoic, to be strong. And it's sort of like the opposite of liberalism, where we're teaching people to be, you know, to work collectively for the greater good and to be kind and to be attuned to the feelings and pains of others. And they're teaching them the exact opposite. And you're creating this like class of just a-hole men. And Black men and Latino men are not immune to that. And so like Black women, obviously, you know, they were very few Black women voted Republican, but Black men, more Black men voted for Trump this time than the last two cycles. And Latinos swung very, very hard. And so there is this sense that big part of that is that institutions have failed us. Corporations have shipped jobs overseas. They don't care about taking care of their employees, obviously. The government doesn't seem to directly help people. I will never understand. I've talked about this a million times, but why do Democrats insist on hiding any benefits in the tax code? We'll give a tax credit for this and we'll take tax credit for that. Mark, when I'm paying my taxes, I don't think, oh, thank God the Democrats passed that one thing because otherwise my taxes would be $500 more. I don't think that. I think, frickin' taxes. And I actually believe in paying taxes and I still don't like to pay taxes, right? So why would you hide benefits and send people a check? If you want people to have a $500 credit, send them a frickin' $500 check and sign it, Joe Biden. Sign it, whoever the Democrat is who passed it. Give them the frickin' money so they know that government is actually looking out for them. Don't be hiding stuff in tax codes. And you know how Republicans vote against a bill, and for whatever reason, Democrats are like, well, that's fine. You voted against it. We're still going to give you money to build a bridge in your district. And then, you know, those Republicans are out there like for the river cutting, taking credit for the bridge that they voted against. Have big signs that actually list the names of the politicians who passed it. Say who passed it. So if you are a congressman in that district and you want credit because you want a big ass billboard with your name on it, vote for it. I mean, there's ways to like connect government to people, and Democrats don't seem to care or are afraid to do so. And so they hide stuff in ways that nobody knows what's going on. So people will say, I don't know what Democrats have done for me. I mean, even Medicaid expansion. I was just seeing somebody in a Republican message board in rural California saying that he was a Republican who depends on Medicaid, saying he doesn't care about, he's not worried about Medicaid getting cut because he has Medi-Cal. Medi-Cal is Medicaid. Medi-Cal without Medicaid. That's exactly what it is. We rebrand stuff because, oh no, we don't want people to know that it was Obama's bill, right? It's just Kentucky, it's Kentucky, I think it's Kentucky Connect.
Yeah, Kentucky Connect. All these states have different names.
Yeah, so people are like, oh, you can cut Obamacare as long as I have my Kentucky Connect. The same thing. Why are we hiding it?
In Oklahoma, it's called Soonercare for Oklahoma Sooners.
Yeah, so people are like, oh, they're cutting Medicaid. I'm not on Medicaid.
Right. In Washington State, it's called Apple Health. And as you said, in California, it's called Medi-Cal. So that's what they do. They change these names. And it's really unfortunate because people don't realize what's about to hit them.
Save big at Menards and prepare for the summer heat with a new air conditioner from Denali Air. Quickly and efficiently cool your spaces with auto and eco modes to maximize performance and save on energy costs. Cool your space from anywhere in the room with three cooling speeds and a remote control. Save big money on Denali air conditioners. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
But no. but let me ask you this. What about Democrats? Have they, I mean, you obviously critiquing some of what they've done, but in this current process, is there anything Democrats could have done better, Marcos?
So my big, they have done what they can legislatively to gum up the works as much as they could. I will always criticize these Democrats who don't frickin' retire and then they die in office and now it's actually screwing us because we have three empty seats from Democrats who died in office. They don't want to retire. One of the reasons they don't want to retire is because we don't have term limits on our committee chairmanships. Republicans do, right? So you get your I don't know how many terms they have to do, four terms or something. You don't want to be a backbencher. You retire, and that opens it up for new blood. Like, we don't do that. Like, our elected officials die in office, and that doesn't help them. I mean, go spend time with your family, for God's sake, right? Definitely doesn't help build a party that's responsive to new generations. You know, we have these geriatric Democrats in office. And then it screws us legislatively. Like right now, we a bunch of Republican bills would have failed if we had a full House contingency. So there's that. To me, the biggest problem with the Democrats, though, is that we ran a campaign basically saying that Trump was fascism and that the end of the republic, end of our democracy, was possible if he won. Right. And then he got elected, and you have people like Schumer and Jeffries writing like sternly worded letters. Meanwhile, remember, Barack Obama got elected, and it was an all hands on deck. Let's destroy his presidency from day one. They didn't hide it. You had Mitch McConnell saying, my number one job is to make Obama a one-term president. Like, they went all out. And our people are like, oh, we got institutions, and we have norms, and we must maintain our norms, and we're going to... Why are we doing that? Why aren't we absolutely calling out what is fascism and doing everything rhetorically that it to stop them, right? So there's a lot of frustration, obviously, and I think it's led to the rise of like Mamdani, you know, Zohran Mamdani in New York City. There's a hunger for a generation of Democrat that doesn't just understand the grave, serious challenges that a Republican is facing, but is also willing to take on the institutions that have gotten us here. Right now, our capitalistic system is not serving us. And Mark, I am a capitalist through and through. And I can see the system. I'm not a socialist. I can see the system. I can say this isn't working. And you can see that, Mark, under 50,000 voted for Trump. That right there tells you the system's not working. Mm-hmm. And we, because Trump came in with a wrecking ball against these institutions, we as Democrats reflectively began to defend them. Some of these institutions don't need to be defended. They need to be torn up. If there's ever a silver lining to Donald Trump right now, it's that he's trashing the crap out of everything. And hopefully when we retake power in 3 years, we can start fresh. And we can sort of, we need somebody with that vision just not to come in and say, well, we're going to restore the institutions. No, institutions are broken. Our government institutions are broken. Our business institutions, Wall Street, all of that is broken. We need somebody that's going to come in and rewrite the rules of our society in a way that actually benefits people, because right now it absolutely is not. If you're not part of the coastal elite, if you're not one of us living in a city that can afford to live in a city, that can afford for our kids to go to college, if you're not part of that, you can't break in. You are absolutely excluded. It is a gated community. I mean, Mark, when we were young, how much did it cost to go to a baseball game? Like, I remember, like, Cubs games, we'd go for like $10.
Yeah, yeah.
Hot dogs were like $2 at Wrigley Field.
Yep, yep, yep,
yep. Now, a family of four, what, $250, $300?
Yeah.
Between tickets and, if God forbid, you want a beer, they're like $18. How are people that are excluded from that civic life, the culture life, right? You can't go even catch a sports game anymore. Right. Certainly aren't, you know, you go in for a dinner. I was just in Chicago because, you know, I'm originally from Chicago. I want to spend a lot more time in Chicago. It's just me by myself. And I would get ramen and it'll cost me $30. This life, and it's not even a question of inflation is high. Inflation's high. That's a challenge, right? And Trump won. I'll tell you, Trump won because he said, and why Latinos voted for him, he said, I'm going to lower prices on day one. That's it. And Mamdani won because he said, I'm going to lower your prices if I'm mayor. Right? No, yeah, free bus fare, rent freeze, free childcare. Like, neither of them have a plan on how to make that happen. Like, I actually think Mamdani's promises are not quite realistic. I don't even understand his grocery store one. Just get rid of the tax on groceries. Like, there you go. You save 5%, right? I'm not sure why you create an entire new grocery chain, but that's not even the point. The point is he's coming in and he's saying, I see you. You're struggling. I'm going to make things cheaper for you. Cuomo was like, I'll lower prices by creating a fund that will create more housing. And in like 8 years, maybe if we get all this funding, maybe you'll see a tax. Like, that's what people hear, right? They hear blah, 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 blah. We don't come in and say, we're going to lower your freaking taxes. We're going to not taxes. We're going to lower your cost of living. So
you know what we do. Remember 1984, Walter Mondale. We're going to have to raise taxes.
Yeah.
Reagan won't tell you. I just did straight down the toilet. I mean, too honest.
If you want to say raise taxes on Elon Musk, that right. polls well, even amongst Republicans.
Right, right, right.
Right. That nobody. And I always like to say that Mark Cuban, if he ran for president, there's a lot of buzz about him running for president. If he ran a president on a platform of, if you vote for me, I will no longer be a billionaire. Because I will tax me to death. Like, that would be so freaking powerful. Yeah, people would do it just to screw him.
Yeah,
we don't like billionaires. There's no reason billionaires should exist. I mean, that was like the big controversial thing that Mamdani just said, that billionaires should not exist. They should not exist.
Yeah, for what? For what purpose?
Why? Why do you need that much freaking money?
And the people who fantasize about billionaireism or being a billionaire will never get there.
No,
you know, that's the other thing.
Shit, if I got there, I would give it away and I wouldn't be a billionaire anymore. That would be the fun part about being a billionaire. It's
right,
just
that's right.
giving the money away. These people don't give the money away. Musk doesn't have a charitable foundation.
No.
Do the Kardashians have a charitable foundation? Like, it's unfathomable to me to have that kind of wealth and not literally be giving it all away. And it just hoards, right? Because just 10%. I mean, they can just stick it in a freaking Vanguard fund and it appreciates 8%, 10% a year, right? And
yeah.
And so you have $100 billion. Boom, you have $8 billion, almost $1 billion a month for doing nothing. You're not contributing anything. And they can accumulate that kind of wealth. That's a broken system, Mark. This is not working for people because people are getting poorer. They're frustrated. They are cut out of our civic life. So they resort to meth. Their young people leave their cities. They're dependent on government for healthcare. And now they voted to like get rid of their healthcare. Congratulations, because they think cutting Obamacare, cutting the ACA, cutting Medicaid, they think that that's different than Kentucky Connect or Medi-Cal. And that's on purpose.
Right. It is very much on purpose. So now, and as we're speaking, folks, and you all can see Hakeem Jeffries in the background, he is now at 8 hours and 15 minutes. This is now the record for the longest floor speech in the history of the House of Representatives. This is taking place as Willie, and I hope he's not wrapping up. Everybody's standing up with him. He's been going since about 4:53 a.m. Eastern time this morning. And again, we saw when Cory Booker did it, and now Hakeem Jeffries is doing it. So, I mean, as we get to a point where this is wild under bridge, and you all had an effect, people who called, it pushed back some senators, very, very close vote, almost didn't happen. When I fell asleep last night around 1:32 a.m., they still did not have passage of the rule. There were still four holdouts on the rule. Now, I don't know whether those people are now. It's probably going to pass. So, Marcos.
It's going to pass, but they're still talking about the rule, right? They're not even talking about final passage yet.
No, I think the rule, it's my understanding, the rule has passed.
Oh, it has. Okay.
Early this morning.
Got it. Okay.
So then the question for us is, once this goes through, what do Democrats do next? If you had run for chair and I had been on your ticket and we would be in charge of the party like we should have been, I'm just kidding, y'all. What would have happened? What would we be doing right now? What would be next?
Mark, I'd be running a national ad campaign blasting Republicans for getting people's Medicaid, and I would actually be tailoring them to, say, Kentucky, saying they're getting rid of Kentucky Connect. They're getting rid of Sooner Care. They're getting rid of Medi-Cal. Targeting it and beginning that, because this idea that you're going to run the ad 6 weeks before the frickin' election and that you're going to actually get through to people is an absolute, absolute fiction. And it's a waste of money. So I would be right now. I would be bashing the crap out of them. Have we seen anything in the media? No. And this, Mark, as laudable as this is, who's watching this? Us, the people who are already progressives. And we're glad to see some fight, obviously, but it's not reaching the people that we need it to reach, and it never will.
Yeah.
That's what's really frustrating.
I just have to say, share this. Obviously, Oklahoma Medicaid is called Sooner Care. Guess what? I give you a chance to guess what Indiana's is called, Marcos.
Indiana Hoosier Care.
There you go. You got it. Hoosier Health-wise. Kansas, check this out. Not a lot of creativity. Can Care. K-A-N. Okay. Missouri, MO Health Net. So, you know, everybody hasn't done a rebranding, but many have. New Mexico, Centennial Care. I mentioned Sooner Care, or the Oregon Health Plan. That's exciting. But this is South Carolina, Healthy Connections. Tennessee, 10 Care. All right. As I said, Washington State, Apple Health. I don't know how they came up with that. But some states actually still have Medicaid in the name. But again, this is to throw people off, and this is to make them forget or be confused about what is taking place. SNAP benefits are going to be affected. They disproportionately are helpful to people of color, but this is going to impact, still in the majority, in the main, people who are white. Because the majority of people on SNAP are not Black or Latino. Yeah. They are white.
And rural America absolutely depends on it.
Yeah. And it is rural. Y'all, I'm going to share this. You all ever been, have any of you ever traveled and gone to like a rural or super suburban area? And as you drive for miles and you see homes where people live and you don't see a hospital and you wonder what happened, like, could I live in a place like that if I got sick? And ain't no hospital for miles around. That gives me anxiety. I don't know if I could deal with that. Imagine what it would be in those places where there's just one or two rural hospitals in that vicinity. Mm-hmm. And that closes. And those individuals don't have access to doctors and medical care. You know, you have a heart attack. You just die at home. I mean, that's pretty much what you're setting yourself up for. And that's, we live, this is 2025. That should not be happening. So we're gonna obviously watch this very, very closely. Whatever what's left to watch If you're watching us on screen, you see Hakeem Jeffries and members of the Black Caucus. There, Congressman Vindman, the whistleblower who became a congressman, was just sitting behind him. Maxine Waters is there. Yvette Clark, Frederica Wilson, members of the Congressional Black Caucus. We were up there with all of them last night. We're 8.5 hours. We're at 8 hours, 20 minutes. This is time that the leaders of the parties have to do this. So he just took a sip of water, as you can see. We'll see how long he... Could you talk for 8 hours, Marcos? I don't know.
Nope.
I'm sure I'd have to go to the bathroom at some point, being a,
yeah, know that.
Being a man of a certain age. And Hakeem and I are the same age, so I don't know what he's doing. I'd have to put on a Depend or something.
So Cory Booker actually dehydrated himself for like a full day, so he wouldn't have to go.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Marcos Melitzis, folks, Thursday Coast. Buddy, as always, we appreciate you. We will continue to watch as all of this develops, folks. Stay tuned. And don't forget, go to dailycoast.com for all the latest news about what is happening on the Hill and around the world. You know, Marcos, we'd be remiss if we also didn't touch on your military experience. Quickly, if you can, your thoughts. Well, I mean, I don't know how much time you have, so I want to be respectful of that, but your thoughts on Iran, the bombing, we decimated them, all of that, decimated, and even his own intelligence people saying, no, you didn't really do that. That's not what happened.
I mean, it reminds me of Dick Cheney back during the pre-Iraq war times, where the CIA was saying Saddam Hussein doesn't have weapons of mass destruction. And Dick Cheney was absolutely insistent to have a reason to go to war. So he created a rival intelligence agency inside the Pentagon to give him fake information to then justify going to war, right? I will say this time, Trump is obviously wrong. I mean, we had video just days after one of the tunnel shafts open and the Iranians moving stuff in and out. Clearly it didn't have its intended mission, but Trump's refusal to accept that reality may actually prevent us from going to war. So in this case, I'm a little conflicted. I don't want us to go to war against Iran. I don't see a viable path to victory in an air only war. So let him be deluded into thinking that he accomplished the mission and send the bombers home, and we're probably better off that way. So clearly it didn't do what it was intended. From all indications, it looked like Trump was watching the Israelis systematically take out Iran's air defenses and wanted to claim victory. So he sent one sortie, claimed victory. There's no real victory, but okay. Now, what's dangerous about the whole situation, though, and this is the law of unintended consequences, is that countries that have nuclear weapons do not get bombed. And so now Iran has that much more of an incentive to finish their nuclear war program than they did before.
Right. And whereas the Obama administration was in negotiations for accountability, and Trump just completely destroyed that. Lastly, explain this, because a couple of people have asked me this, how Iran can give the U.S. a warning, we're just going to retaliate symbolically, get everybody off the base, and we're going to bomb it. I mean, what is that about? So, you just bombed me, so I'm going to give you a courtesy call, and I'm about to bomb you.
Yeah. So, funny enough, this is a thing that was rumored to be standard procedure. So, you know, my son was in the Middle East, and for a year deployed, and every so often a bunch of, you know, Iran has their like militias, right? They're allied militias in the region. A bunch of mortars would be fired, a bunch of rockets, and they would fall short of the gate of the post. And then the U.S. would bomb some spot in the desert, and then they would go back and forth. And it was a way for both of them to show how tough they were. And it was, you know, the Iranians were like resisting the occupation of the imperialists, and the U.S. was showing how it wasn't going to be bullied around, but neither of them were particularly interested in actually killing anybody. So it was all kabuki theater. What's interesting about this situation is that it seemed to be a continuation of that, except that the U.S. strike was actually a real strike, right? It was an actual attempt to take out Iran's nuclear weapons. And Trump literally gave Iran permission to strike American bases, which is not a thing that American presidents should do. And Mark, if it was Obama that did that, he'd be impeached already.
Right, right.
And he would already have been impeached. Give Iran permission, even if it was designed to miss. Because before, it was sort of wink-wink, right? Like, it wasn't like President Biden saying, I approve of these fake strikes and they can strike up. No, it wasn't that. It was just kind of like, just it was kind of a quiet little kabuki theater. And but it wasn't Joe Biden giving permission to Iranian militias to even pretend to attack American forces. Trump's bragging that he gave Iran permission. And Iran doesn't have real, I mean, the last thing Iran wanted was to kill an American soldier, because then the U.S. has to retaliate in a bigger fashion, right? And they could target military barracks and facilities and actually kill a lot more Iranians than Iran's capable. So Iran got to show, we retaliated. And that was part of the kabuki. I don't know why Trump needs to open his freaking fat mouth and talk about it.
But it's what he does. Stupid.
Yeah.
Just out of control.
Yeah.
Marcos Melissas, DailyCoast.com, as always. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you so much. Catch you next week.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.